It is the Ring Knowers Podcast here on the Game Nashville Sports Network on this 4th of July weekend. Hope you're having a happy 4th, first of all. We will be streaming all weekend. You can always hear us on the Pod Center over on the Game Nashville Sports Network, but we're going to be playing all throughout the weekend here on 102.5 The Game, over on 94.9 The Fan at various times throughout the weekend. So please, sit back and enjoy. Hi everyone, I'm Connor Newt. I am your host of the Ring Knowers Podcast, where we talk all about professional wrestling. Normally, my co-host, Christian Skelton, is with me, but he's currently at home recovering from the brutal attacks last week from Bron Breakker. I'm just kidding. He's on vacation. But hope he's doing well. Hope he's listening, first of all. But hope he knows I'm replacing him. It's just me now, Oos. I'm just kidding. He knows I love him. We're going to talk about a lot today. Nick Frazier, my good buddy, co-host of Four's Company with myself and Jake Lyman, also host of Talking Calcio, which you'll hear also throughout the weekend on the Game Nashville Sports Network on 102.5, 106.3, and 94.9 The Fan. He's going to join us later in the show to talk about his wrestling legacy. His grandfather was a professional wrestler back in the regional days in the 60s and 70s, and he's really got a great story. So I invited him on, and I can't wait to hear from him. He's a great friend of mine and even better storyteller. So I can only imagine what he's going to have in store for us. But as far as right now, I wanted to start with a question that I've been thinking about for a while. Is the current roster on the WWE brand as stacked as it's ever been? Now, I know that's crazy. You can look back at the Attitude Era and say, no, Connor, you're absolutely wrong. Stone Cold and The Rock and Hulk Hogan and, you know, guys like that are head and shoulders above the talent they have right now. But just hear me out. You have current vets on this roster right now, like a CM Punk, who has come back and has clearly not missed a step. A Seth Rollins, who's been carrying this company on his back for the better part of 15 years. Roman Reigns in that same situation, who has just developed and developed over time. Started out as a, you know, upstart young stud who not a lot of people liked, underwent a serious character change, and is now the tribal chief and a fan favorite. Favorite of mine. John Cena, who's on his retirement tour, also carried the company on his back for 25 years. Randy Orton, who is a different Randy Orton than we've ever seen, but he's still the Viper, still the best finisher in all of professional wrestling. Vets like that still deliver to me. You have these stories that are going on with Seth and Punk that are just captivating. I know it's been a long story, but for me, I'm still interested. I still want to see a heel Seth Rollins versus a babyface CM Punk, because I think that match would deliver with the underlying story elements of Seth's faction and the Money in the Bank briefcase and the history that goes on between them. I think it's still interesting. Roman Reigns, I'm always curious to see what he's going to do next, because it's, for him, it's a matter of how can he one-up himself. He had his 1,300-day reign, excuse me, can't take away the reign of the tribal chief. He had that for a while, and that was the biggest story going. Then he loses the title, comes back as sort of a babyface, and now I just want to see how can he one-up himself, and he always seems to deliver. The triple threat match at WrestleMania in night one main event is proof of that. A babyface tribal chief is still as captivating as a heel tribal chief. Randy Orton's an interesting case because not a lot of storyline going on for him as of late. Ever since Kevin Owens was knocked out, he hasn't really had a storyline other than the Cena thing. And that was just a one-off match in St. Louis, which was great. But he hasn't really had, I guess he's had, you know, the King of the Ring with Cody, but that wasn't much of a story. So I'm curious to see what they do for him. But Randy Orton today can still move at a pace like no other. His in-ring skills, his mic skills are just incredible. The RKO is really the three most devastating words in sports entertainment because it's just such a good move. Yes, I know it's a repurposed diamond cutter, but it's the athleticism Orton has to do it. It just makes it so unpredictable, and that's what makes it better. That's part of why I think the roster may be the most stacked it's ever been. The other part of this is the up-and-coming talent you have, like Bron Breakker, like a Carmelo Hayes. Tiffany Stratton, if we want to go on the women's side, is Unbelievable. They all entertain. And I understand the Attitude Era had that as well with The Rock up and coming, Stone Cold up and coming, but they were still main eventers. Hulk Hogan was a certified veteran. You know, guys like that. I understand that argument, but Bron Breakker is 23. Carmelo Hayes is around that. Tiffany Stratton is like 25, something like that, who I've had the privilege of meeting. She's a very nice lady. Anyways, they entertain at such a young age. Bron Breakker has the best spear I've ever seen. I know we can look back and say Edge or even Roman Reigns now or Goldberg, but the way Bron Breakker hurls his body at his opponent is unheard of. If you ever go back and watch his football highlights from Kennesaw State, you'll see where some of this comes from. His speed, his athleticism. He is one of my favorites, but I do have issues with him. Slightly off topic, I want more than just the tag team life for him. I want him to be a main event star. I want to see the World Heavyweight Championship around his waist at some point. But regardless, he's still, in my mind, the top young talent on this roster. Like, under the age of 30, he is the best of the bunch. No question about it. Carmelo Hayes is a different case because I think the talent is there and the charisma is there, but he just doesn't get booked well. Like, I think he could be a very compelling heel. I would throw him in the mid-card conversation. Like, I would like to see him hold a U.S. championship or an Intercontinental championship, or which, that's another young star, Dominic Mysterio, Intercontinental champion. Not my favorite, but he's not supposed to be. He's a compelling heel, and I'm always a fan of the heels because they're just the most interesting characters to me. So I say this to say there's an argument to be had that this roster right now, in the state it's in, is the most stacked it's ever been. Like, even the guys I didn't mention. Drew McIntyre. Damian Priest is building to be a star. You have comedic gags, but you still have talent. Like, Chad Gable is talent. El Grande Americano is talent. Although a comedy act, still talent. The tag team division needs a little work. That is something I would give the Attitude Era over this era, is the tag team. You had New Age Outlaws. You had the Hardy Boys. You had the Dudley Boys. You had Heart Foundation, D-Generation X, stuff like that. The tag team division, while I think can put on good matches, as much as I love the Street Profits, who hopefully will be joining me here in the future, as much as I love them and some of the matches they put on, they don't hold a candle to, you know, the tag teams of old. Now, I think the Machine Guns and Street Profits and DIY can deliver great matches. But I just, they don't have the charisma to draw me in. Raw is the brand that really needs work as far as tag teams. You have the Judgment Day, and that's about it. And I don't even like the Judgment Day. Like, the New Day, I guess, but everyone hates the New Day now. War Raiders, never been a fan of them. Judgment Day, not a fan. I think it needs work. I think you could take some of these SmackDown tag teams and flip them over to Raw just to even out the playing field a little bit. But all this to say, there's certainly an argument to have from a talent perspective. This is the most stacked the roster has ever been. Now, I understand you're going to always appeal to the legends like Rock and Austin and guys like that, Kurt Angle. But from a talent in-ring perspective, I think this is the best. How could we not mention probably the biggest rising star in the entire industry? And that's LA Knight. An older guy, yes, he's in his 40s, but he has had one of the most meteoric rises to fame ever. Started on NXT, was liked there, wasn't over, comes to WWE as Max Dupri, a fashion model. That's Vince booking at its finest, by the way. A fashion model. Finally, they do away with that gimmick, becomes LA Knight as a heel, starts to build a little bit of more momentum. And now we're where we are today in main event title picture. Because he's so over. And every time he comes out, it's like God himself has come down. The pop he receives. The chance he receives. Everyone loves LA Knight. I love LA Knight. That's where my namesake comes from. I call myself LA Newt because it works. Now, it hasn't caught on as much as the speaker has, and that's the Big Joe effect. But it'll catch on. Don't worry. We'll get it there. But in conclusion, there's an argument to be had that this roster and the state it's in, whether it be on Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, NXT even. There's an argument to be had that this roster is the most stacked it's ever been. And that's just my opinion. Stick with us. We'll come right back. Nick Frazier, my good buddy, host of Talking Cal Joe and Forest Company with myself and Jake Lyman, will join us to talk about his grandfather. Really, really excited to hear what he has to say. That's all coming up next.
Welcome back to Ring Knowers Podcast on the Game National Sports Network.
As always, we are on the Game Pod Center. This weekend, we are streaming on 102.5, 94.9, all across the Game National Sports Network. It's a very special edition of Ring Knowers. To help me with this episode for a little bit, I have brought in wrestling royalty, wrestling legacy, my buddy, co-host of Force Company with myself and Jake Lyman, the host of Talking Calcho, which you'll also hear this weekend on the Game National Sports Network, Nick Frazier, wrestling royalty. Welcome.
Well, thanks for the nice introduction there. Yeah,
I will provide every guest that comes on here with a nice introduction. You are the high honor of being the first.
Well, thank you.
So
yeah, this is awesome. Thank you. Yeah, very much. My grandfather was a wrestler back in the day, Lorenzo Parente. He came through the southern border when it came to just wrestling in the States. You know, back in the day, it was all territories.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into more of that, but thank you for the nice introduction. Yeah, my middle name is named after my grandfather, Lorenzo. So, yeah, I take that with a lot of pride.
Of course, yeah. So I really wanted to start with, how does your legacy of wrestling really affect you? I see that you have pictures everywhere in the office of your grandfather. He's your wallpaper.
Yep.
He's obviously very much a role model to you. So how does his, you know, presence in the business really apply to your life today?
Yeah, you know, every time I go out and about, my grandparents had a restaurant back in like the 90s, right before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of former wrestlers would eat at their restaurant. And every time I go to the grocery store with my grandmother, or I'm just riding along going to the grocery store myself, some people will stop me or stop my grandmother. I'm with them. Like, oh, are you Mrs. Lorenzo? They go by Mrs. Lorenzo or
Mrs.
whatever.
Lorenzo.
And because everybody's like, well, everybody remember my grandfather's accent, very thick. It's just, like, hey, how you doing? Stuff like that. So, yeah, that's kind of how the wrestling business has affected me a little bit. Just because of wanting to get in the sports radio industry, I had to get my foot in the door somehow. And I thought creating my own podcast before starting to work here at 102.5 The Game would really help me with that, building a resume, building some, you know, extra reps behind the microphone. It has to
right.
some degree. But once it comes to just getting my feet wet in this industry, I started interviewing former wrestlers that my grandfather wrestled with. It's funny enough, full circle moment, my pre-K teacher at Judson Elementary, I believe, or Judson Church, I believe, next to Overton High School, Miss Sandra, her father was... I believe Don Green, which was my grandfather's wrestling partner.
Oh, wow.
So it's a full circle moment like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously Len Rossi, who everybody should know in this area when it comes to old wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Used to own a vitamin shop out towards Nolensville, Franklin area.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he ended up passing away 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first started doing my podcast, that was one of the interviews I wanted to do was with Len Rossi, because he knew my grandfather pretty well, not to the point where they wrestled on a consistent week in and week out basis, but every time there was like a house show, as a lot of people call it now,
yeah,
they would do a lot of house shows here in Nashville. And so that's why I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is pretty cool to get more in-depth history of my grandfather. Because the crazy thing about, I just, like you talked about earlier, my grandfather, just me wanting to know more about him. As a kid, there was only 3 VHS tapes that I knew of.
Yeah.
And it was my grandfather wrestling at the Chase Park Plaza in St. Louis. There was another one where he was wrestling in Florida under the UWFA. It was like the United Wrestling Federation Association or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was called.
There's so many.
Yeah. Back in the day, all those territories had so many different names before the McMahon family kind of liquidated everything and brought it all into one to make it the WWF.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wanted to know more about my grandfather. Obviously, sitting down at the kitchen table, learning about, you know, his flee from Italy after World War II, and how he had 2 other brothers and a sister, and he was born in a very rural area of Italy, in Abruzzo, Italy, and that's when he's like, you know what, I want a better life, and chose to move and just leave. His parents both died at a very young age they both died when he was at a very young age. So he's like, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else for a better life.
Yeah.
Ended up going to Venezuela, became a construction worker, played semi-professional soccer, And while he was there, I believe he wrestled a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. And then after that, ended up going to North America into Mexico City. There was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some form of fairgrounds event going on. They had some wrestlers, and the guys were like, hey, we need somebody to wrestle. And he goes, I'll do it any day of the week. I'll do it. And so there was a North American United States promoter. I don't know the name exactly, but he saw him and goes, I can get you into America. My grandfather says, sign me up. Whatever you need. So he got him a work visa, got him all the correct papers that he needed. First match was in Amarillo, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about kind of you've gotten the opportunity to interview some of the people that your grandfather wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
Any legends come to mind? Legends of, like, I know Jerry Lawler was big in Memphis area.
Yeah.
You know, around any big time legends come to mind?
Yeah. Actually, Jerry Lawler quoted about my grandfather and I believe who was his tag team partner at the time? I'm trying to think. So, yeah, my grandfather was in a tag team, you know, together with another wrestler by the name of Bobby Hart. They were known as the Continental Warriors. And I just think it was so cool. Obviously, that tag team name, to me, it's pretty freaking awesome because you're called the Continental Warriors.
Yeah.
One guy coming from North America, the other guy coming from Europe. I just think it was an organic name, an organic storyline. There was a lot of cool things when they would go travel from, you know, St. Louis, Missouri or, you know, Memphis or wherever it was. But you mentioned earlier about Jerry Lawler. Like I was saying, he quoted my grandfather's tag team, the Continental Warriors, him and Bobby Hart both. Just the fact that I think his exact quote was, those are main event guys. They were main event guys night in and night out every single time. And so I take that with a lot of pride because my grandfather, not only I was not involved in the business directly,
right,
but it always instilled in me, you can work hard and you can earn whatever you deserve. Like that's exactly how you're going to earn a living, is you're going to work hard and everything that comes to you, you're going to earn it. And so every time I hear and read those words from Jerry Lawler and his biography, it just kind of makes me take a step back. I'm like, wow, this is actually my grandfather's history. This is actually his career. He was well known in the South region of the United States.
Yeah.
Which just, it doesn't bring a tear to my eye. It just brings a smile to my face.
Right.
A lot of people think, you know, when you have a relative that's passed on, you miss him a lot. Mm-hmm. Sure, I get choked up talking about it a little bit, but it brings a smile to my face because not only was he making his grandkids proud 30, 40 years down the road, he's making my mom proud and my two uncles. So yeah. I think that's what makes everything as great, you know?
Right. I want to focus in on the Continental Warriors specifically.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know they were a heel tag team.
Yes.
How do you think watching, you know, going back and watching the VHSs of them as heels, how do you think the heel business has evolved from them to now?
I think it's evolved tremendously because if you look back in the day, especially in wrestling in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you look at people like my grandfather who's an Italian immigrant, so they don't speak much English. So that leads you to think they're an automatic heel. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys, as an American, you're like, oh, red, white, and blue, yeah. America, yeah. It's kind of like when you had the Iron Sheik versus Hulk Hogan, yep, in the 90s. That's exactly how it was back in the day. You see all this, you know, Lorenzo Parente and Bobby Hart, the Continental Warriors, the heels of wrestling, going up against, I guess, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson. That did happen, yeah, by the way, in Australia. Oh,
there was Rock's daddy.
Yeah, there was a round-robin tournament. I don't believe it was with Bobby Hart, but my grandfather told me that he went on a six-month tour with Andre the Giant, and they were tag team partners in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a round-robin tournament.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the Continental Warriors, it was a pretty cool, you know, storyline, the fact that they're both heels. And I think there was a tag team group called the Florida Boys. It was in the UWFA, I believe, under Lou Thesz's promotion before it got bought out. And they, you know, were always the heel every single time, and they always brought props in. And it was almost like the Florida Boys, they were the true heel, but not to the storyline, if
right,
that makes sense.
Right.
Like, my grandfather and Bobby Hart were the actual heels. It's just, at this time, it was the Florida Boys that were the baby face, but really portrayed the heels inside the ring.
Yeah. It's interesting. You look at, you know, matches like Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, mm-hmm. where The Rock comes in as the heel, but, you know, it flips. The Rock was the face. Hulk Hogan was Hollywood Hogan.
Correct.
He was the heel. But they get in the ring, and the crowd flips. It's let's go Hogan, and The Rock is the heel. It's interesting to look at the heel business. I've always been a heel guy.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking.
And also, too, like, back when my grandfather wrestled, if I'm not mistaken, from what he told me at the kitchen table back in the day, that he would go and wrestle a house show on a Thursday night, get in the car with like four or five other wrestlers, travel to like, say, we'll just use Nashville for an example, mm-hmm. then travel to Huntsville, Alabama, and do another match like either that same night or the night after. And like it was boom, 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 multiple times. And again, the promoter is promoting them into different promotions that are like, you know, in the area because it's territories back in the day. So I remember him telling me about that they would always travel continuously. And my mom and my two uncles, they knew that my grandfather was on the road a lot, but mm-hmm. they didn't know what it was really for.
Oh.
So my grandmother and a few other family friends at the time, I believe it was, Debbie, who is a good family friend of ours, their dad is Larry London, a drummer, very famous drummer back in the day. They ended up calling my grandfather like the spaghetti salesman because obviously being Italian, my mom and my two uncles didn't know what was going on, so they just called him the spaghetti salesman. And one day they all found out for the most part. But
you're a wrestler?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they all found out that way. Yeah, because I guess found the mask or whatever he had, but it's just pretty neat.
Was he a luchador?
Yeah, he was, actually. When he wrestled in Mexico City, he was called, I believe, Maficio and Pancho Lopez.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, I guess, there's a lot of information about my grandfather on these, like, I guess, websites online about how, you know, he went under a name called the Blue Avenger. He went by a name called, you know, Pancho Lopez or Maficio or the Spoilers. He had another tag team called the Spoilers.
That's actually
It was pretty sweet.
Cool.
I believe those colors were purple, white, and black. And I still have that mask. Actually, I have a picture of it. I'll show you after the podcast.
Oh.
But it's pretty neat, man. I love going back into history and actually just putting on the mask and be like, man, my grandfather wore this. My head is kind of big. I don't know how he fit into this. And we just all chuckle.
You think he'd be proud of the business today?
You know, yes. Yes, he would. I remember him telling me after he retired, it was probably about, I don't know, 20 years after, he told me, one lesson to me, never join the business. And two, if I was wrestling today, I'd be making millions.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. He goes, I wrestled in the wrong era, but by God, I should have been wrestling in this era and I would have made a lot more money.
Oh. We'll step aside, come right back with more Nick Frazier here on the Ring Knowers podcast on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Welcome back, Ring Knowers podcast here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, 94.9 The Fan, the Game Nashville Sports Network, wherever you may be listening to. I'm Connor Newt, speaking to Nick Frazier, a wrestling legacy on his grandfather's wrestling past and how it affects him. Here's more of that conversation. I mean, it's just so interesting to me to go back, you know, your grandfather wrestled in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a different product than what it is now. And that's not a bad thing. It's two completely different. It's like basketball.
Yeah.
Completely different style of offense ran in the 70s and 80s with Bird and Johnson and Michael Jordan when he came up. Now you look at it, it's, you know, Curry and LeBron. Wrestling's kind of the same thing as, you know, you had your grandfather, you had Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, guys like that, and then now you have John Cena.
Tojo Yamamoto, let's not forget him.
Yes, yeah. I forgot. I actually know Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Not personally, but I know who he is.
Yeah.
But it's so different stylistically, which is where I'm harping at. What was his moveset like?
Did he have a completely different form? Very like Greco-Roman on the ground, like, you know, grapple style.
Technical wrestling.
Yeah. There was one VHS tape where he's wrestling at the Chase against Pat O'Connor, the U.S. heavyweight champion at the time. And my grandfather's like signature move, I guess, was like the head scissors. And basically he just put the guy's head in between his legs and just squeezed him like a watermelon until like his face started turning purple.
That move is definitely banned now.
Yeah,
probably.
It definitely is. But he would do the head scissors, and there was, I'll have to send you the link, but in that same match, he ended up like going off the side ropes and jumping in midair, opening his legs and clamping on the guy's head and turning him down on the ground and getting him into a grapple move on the head scissors. It's pretty incredible to watch. And at the time, I think my grandfather was like 1 or 2 years into the business.
Yeah.
So, and he had an 18-year career. So like it was probably 1961.
Right.
So, but yeah, he wrestled majority of the time in St. Louis. And then after he kind of got his feet wet in the industry in St. Louis, he ended up moving around to Oklahoma, Amarillo, Texas, like I mentioned before, Louisiana. My uncle on my mom's youngest brother, he wasn't born in St. Louis with the rest of them. He was born in like Baton Rouge, I think.
Yeah.
So different state in Louisiana. They lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then I think it got to the point around like, I'd say 74, 73. My grandfather's like, all right, ask my nanny, where do you want to move to? And my grandma goes, you know, Nashville. Let's move to Nashville.
And so, history was made.
History was
Nick Frazier was eventually conceived like 40 years later. But here
exactly,
he is.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, now in Nashville, my grandfather wrestled under Nick Gulas, the promoter here.
Yeah.
The Gulas family. Everybody knows them for the most part. I believe a relative of theirs was an umpire when I was a kid. So
no, maybe he umpired with Rick.
Maybe. He might have. He might have. But yeah, that's back to the whole beginning of this conversation, it leads me to talking to all these former wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like just wanting to know more with Len Rossi. And I didn't know this. When Len Rossi passed away, he had cancer. I didn't know that. That's what it said in the paper in the obituary. And I was a little upset about it because I was his last ever interview. I didn't even know that. He died at the age of 93, I believe.
Wow.
And he's a super nice guy, obviously being Italian like my grandfather, but he talked about wrestling in Madison Square Garden and told me some cool stories about my grandfather and how, you know, when there were times when you didn't get paid the right amount that you should have been paid, that's when you kind of went to another promotion or you went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's when he told me, you know, your grandfather was a hard worker. He did a lot of really good things for not only himself, but for wrestling as a pioneer. I look at the old wrestling, like you talked about before in the 50s and 60s. You know, when NBA basketball was ABA and they didn't have a 3-point line?
Right.
I look at wrestling back then like that.
Yes.
I look at those guys setting the foundation for wrestling and really just establishing the entertainment aspect of it. Because when my grandfather wrestled in St. Louis at the Chase Park Plaza, there was always a suit and tie attire. You had to be dressed to the nines. You got a ticket. Like, there's a whole documentary online about the Chase Park Plaza and the wrestling at the Chase. It is super cool. I have to say, it's about 2 hours long. It's a great, great video to watch. Documentary, that is.
Yeah. No, it's... I'm sorry. This is just a fascinating conversation. I wish we could do this for 3 more hours, but...
I got all day. Got all day.
Last one for you.
Sure.
You look, as a consumer today, you watch business. You watch, you know, John Cena's on a marvelous heel run, in my opinion. Do you ever watch, you know, the product today and think, hey, my grandfather would have loved that, or he would have fit right in right there? Like, this whole Cena run where he's turned his back on the fans. Do you ever look at it and say, my grandfather would have helped him out a lot, or he would have been great in the storyline?
Yeah, my grandfather was a very, how do I put it, a very business-like man when it came to things.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to wrestling now, like obviously the 90s and early 2000s, you had a lot of props, like a lot of tables, a lot of chairs, a lot of, you know, ladders, all that stuff. In today's, I guess, wrestling, he would like it, but not to the extreme of like being in depth with the story. Like he could follow the basic storyline of like he's the babyface, he's heel. Like that's great.
I guess that makes sense. Like
building off of that into what it really is of like, how do I put this? Building the storyline is something that he enjoyed, but not to the extreme.
Right.
If that makes sense. He wasn't really in depth with it. He just wanted to go out there, wrestle, make a living, and make a name for himself.
It makes sense because storylines today, like it's a television show. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some sort of plot.
Yeah.
I guess back then, they weren't, maybe they were locally televised and such. But
they were pre-taped, and they would tape on Saturday mornings. And so back then, they only had an allotted amount of time when they wrestled. It wasn't a storyline.
It was just match. Boom, boom, boom.
It was a match. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. And they also were like, all right, this is the outcome. This guy's going to win.
Yeah.
And then they went off of that. But I kind of turn it. I know you want to get done here quick. Sorry about that.
No, it's
but
okay.
Like, my grandfather had a big feud with Jackie Fargo. I never met the guy. I never knew anything about him. I knew in my grandfather's eyes and my eyes as a grandkid, he was the heel. My grandfather was the babyface. Mm-hmm. And to some people at those matches, probably thought the same thing. But my grandfather told me Jackie Fargo was a dirty wrestler in some regard.
Oh.
And I don't want to speak too much on that because I don't know if that's...
So it's literal beef.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there is actual beef.
Like that, Michaels versus Hart
yes,
kind of beef.
That is one thing I remember my grandfather telling me is that there was a lot of beef. I'll just put it in the terms like that between them two. He said even outside the ring, there was some I wouldn't say issues, but there were some things like give them the wrong look. Like, let's not do that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So even back then, there was some bad blood between certain wrestlers.
It's locker room chemistry. You still see it today. I mean, they work together, but I have the sneaking suspicion that CM Punk and Seth Rollins don't like each other. So,
oh, yeah. We saw when CM Punk came back in WWE.
I mean, they've built that into a storyline, but it happens. It's a real thing.
It does. It does happen. But, you know, I'm super proud to be the grandkid of a former wrestler. I'm super proud to share his story a little bit. Obviously, some of the stuff that you hear from my own mouth, it's a little bit skewed and it's opinionated because it's my grandfather, but also some of the stuff that was said to me, I don't know if it's 100% true because some people have, there's two sides to every story. But yeah, I'm just super proud to be his grandkid, and I'm sure all the other grandkids that are on my mom and dad's side, they're proud to be associated with him too. So, but yeah, I'm very stoked about all this. I love Ring Knowers. I listen to it on a consistent basis.
Well, we haven't been pumping it out consistently.
But still, it's good.
Thank you, man. Well, thanks for doing this. Like, this is huge honor to have you on and hear about the history and, you know, your family and how the business has evolved. And, you know, thanks for being a friend, man. Like, just coming on. And I could talk to a lot of people in this office and say, hey, would you like to come on and talk wrestling? First off, they don't know it, so that wouldn't help. But a lot of them would just say, no, man, I got something to do. And you've been here since 8 in the morning, so...
Yeah, I love helping out people, man.
So
that's what you
got to
do in life. You got to help out people.
He is Nick Frazier, host of Talking Calcio, which is coming up sometime on the Game Nashville Sports Network all weekend. Happy 4th to you, by the way.
Happy 4th, man. Enjoy a few hot dogs.
Oh, man, I can't wait to grill. We'll come back, have a little bit more on the Ring Knowers podcast on the Game Nashville Sports Network. And welcome back to the Ring Knowers podcast here on the Game Nashville Sports Network, wherever you may be listening, the Pod Center, 102.5, 106.3, the Game, 94.9, wherever you may be. Welcome back. So I wanted to take this time to really get opinionated, but everyone talks about, you know, the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. Who are the four greatest of all time? So I wanted to go ahead and give mine. In honor of 4th of July, since we are celebrating the presidents, not really, we're celebrating this country's independence, but the presidents are involved in that, and Mount Rushmore is a symbol of those presidents. You know, you have the four presidents, Washington, Jefferson, etc. We'll do the wrestling one. So at number one, on the Connor Knute Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling, I have the great one. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment, the final boss now, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, I think of The Rock. The Rock is one of my favorites, first of all. It's probably him and Randy Orton for me. But The Rock is just so impactful on so many levels, from his promo style to his moves. Like, you hear people reference the People's Elbow all the time. Now, most people don't really know what the People's Elbow is, but it is referenced all the time. You hear that so much, and The Rock is because of that. The Rock's promos, like, you can be talking. My dad does this to me all the time. Granted, he likes wrestling, but you could be talking and someone goes, "It doesn't matter what you think," or something like that. And that's just The Rock. The Rock's promos, The Rock's style, everything is The Rock. The Rock truly embodies what the Attitude Era looked like. And even further beyond, you get into the 2010s, you have that massive match with John Cena
twice, but the first time was billed as once in a lifetime. We never thought we would see something like that, and we did. And that's because of The Rock and the impact he had on this business, the impact he had on fans, the impact he's had on pop culture. The Rock, rightfully so, deserves a place on the new Mount Rushmore of wrestling. To counter that, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin's got to be on there for the same reasons. Stone Cold, if you could pick one guy to embody the Attitude Era, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, he was the most over star in that time period, had probably the best moves, cut the same level of skill promo that The Rock did, which is why their feud was so great around WrestleMania 17. They would just rip into each other in places we never thought they would go promo-wise. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin finds his way into pop culture, too. When you hear, what? And what? Like, on my show a couple weeks ago, someone said Stone Cold Steve Austin, something about Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, I hit what? Pop culture, I mean, Stone Cold, The Rock, too, because he's an actor, but Stone Cold showed up in Grown Ups 2 one time. I'll never forget this. Because that's part of why I watched Grown Ups 2. It's pop culture. He just fits in so well. The stunner is still used today. Kevin Owens uses it a lot. But the stunner is another, it's like the people's elbow. It's another move that's constantly referenced in pop culture. Or in just common lingo. It's one of the best moves in wrestling history. Even Stone Cold's theme song, The Rock 2, but mostly Stone Cold's theme song, you hear it all the time. As soon as that glass shatters, you know exactly what that song is. And it could be used outside of a wrestling scope. Like, you'll be scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or what have you, and you'll just hear that glass for something completely unrelated to wrestling, and you'll know, oh, that's Stone Cold Steve. Here he comes. So Stone Cold Steve Austin, undeserved, and The Rock. Those are the two unanimous decisions on the new Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Number three, I think, is as close to unanimous as it gets, is John Cena. You know, they bill him as the greatest of all time, and I think the greatest of all time in wrestling is sort of like baseball. It depends on the era and this, you know, stuff like that. But Cena is, from a childhood impact, probably the most impactful for kids these days. I'm a young guy. I'm 21. So I grew up in the era of Super Cena. Cena was the ultimate babyface, and he was always fighting guys like CM Punk or Edge or Triple H or Brock Lesnar, who were all mega heels whenever they faced him. And everyone wanted Cena to win because Cena's the ultimate good guy, and he's doing all these make-a-wish for all the kids, and he connects with the children and stuff like that. Everyone supported John, my age, and now we still do, for a completely different reason, because now he's a heel. But he, you know what? Like we talked about last week with Christian, he makes heel work on a different level. Like, of course, I prefer Cena to be a face, but he just works as a heel. I don't know what happened, because I didn't like it at first. But now I love it. I think it's great. I think he's doing a great job. And I think acting has helped a lot with that. But Cena's just so versatile. He can do so many characters. He was Doctor of Thugonomics. Then he became, you know, the John Cena we know. Now he's this heel. He can do a wide range of characters. I think that's what sets him apart from everyone on the Mount Rushmore, is he can do different things. So John Cena is the third entry of four on the new Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. Number four may not be a shock to most of you, but it may be kind of a bold take. I'd put Randy Orton on the Mount Rushmore, and I'll tell you why. Randy Orton, similar to John Cena, can be so versatile with his character, but I think what sets him up for me is his athleticism and his moveset. The RKO is the most popular finisher in the history of the business, in pop culture, in meme culture, and things like that, everyone knows what an RKO looks like. Everyone. And it's because it was popularized. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, it's just a repurposed diamond cutter. But the way Orton does it and makes it so unpredictable is what sets him apart. Like, you could go online and watch, you know, a 20-minute compilation of the best RKOs in history, and you will be amazed at every single one. Like Evan Bourne flying off the top rope in a backwards moonsault into an RKO. More recently, in War Games in 2023, JD McDonagh off the top of the cage into an RKO. Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31, where he goes for the curb stomp and he's lifted up and Orton RKOs him, and he's so shocked that he pulled it off that he forgets to pin. You will be amazed at every single one. And his character depth is so good because his 25-year career has just been character development. Started as the legend killer, as this young, cocky, you know, a-hole, for lack of a better term. Then becomes Bald Orton in 2019, where he's, or 2009, excuse me, where he is just an absolute villain. Evolves to the Authority, then we get to, you know, RK Bro, which is a forgettable time, but now he's a babyface. It's character development for him. And that's what sets him apart. So to round out the new Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling is The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the face that runs the place, John Cena, and the Apex Predator, Randy Orton. How's that for celebrating 4th of July? We combined patriotism and professional wrestling. Who would have thought? But that'll do it for us here on the Ring Knowers podcast. Hope you have a very, very happy 4th of July weekend. Be safe. Eat some good food. Spend some time with your family. Celebrate this country the way it was meant to be celebrated. Again, we're on all weekend here on the Game Nashville Sports Network on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, 94.9 The Fan. Hope you enjoyed my podcast. Hope you enjoy everyone else. I know the Air Raid with Parker Kelly is coming up. Talking Calcio, of course, with Nick Frazier. Chasing Checkers with the Tribal Chief, Chase McCabe. Lots to enjoy this 4th of July weekend here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.